Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is good and he has so much to say to his people. Always remember, God loves everyone. He loves those that we care about. He loves those that we don't know. And he loves people, even though they can be contrary and get on your very last nerve. He doesn't change. He stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the chance, this is the time that God has given man a chance to receive redemption. Now, the Lord don't force people into a box. He don't force people into the kingdom of God. Everyone that's in the kingdom of God, from angels to men, everyone there, they are there by choice. They want to be in his kingdom. They love God and they love each other. They love God and they love each other because God first loved them. They understand love. The more we understand love, the more we understand God. The more we understand his love and receive his love, the more we love other people. And nobody's there. No, God never coerced anybody to go to heaven and be in his kingdom. Now, when Solomon, he went against the wisdom of God and he married all those foreign women that were not of God. They were beautiful. They were groomed to be a king's wife. They were from other places. And he married them to form alliances. But the Lord said, don't be, he told them not to marry foreign women unless they became like the Jews. God is not against people marrying people of different origins, but he even told me that that honors him because they openly go against the world system of hate. If somebody from another country or another race marries somebody from somewhere else or a different race, that honors God. He told me that because they openly go against the world system of hate. But together, they turned his heart, Solomon's wives. They turned his heart together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the daughter of the king of Egypt. She was satanic. And she and the rest of them, they turned Solomon's heart. And he went back to the world, to the worldly way of doing things. And when he did, the Lord didn't give up on him. He appeared to him. The Lord appeared to Solomon twice to try to get him to come back. Now remember, he was anointed to be king. He was a prophet because kings have the prophet's anointing, especially the kings of Judah. And he had a strong relationship with the Lord. He asked the Lord for wisdom so he could know how to govern his people. He was raised by David. Now David had other wives too. And you know what parents do in moderation, children do in excess. David married some foreign women that gave and that children gave him a lot of trouble. And a lot of regret. His son Absalom and his son Adonijah, both of their mothers were foreign women from other places. They were not Jewish women. And they tried to get their children to be king. Only Bathsheba was Jewish. And she was married to a man from another country. And David, you know the story. David, he slept with her and had a child on the way and had her husband killed in battle. And the Lord, that's how Israel got divided. David was the king of all Israel. And then because he'd sinned, you know, you can't sin and walk away and nothing happened. His judgment, the judgment of God, God divided the kingdom from him. So in his son's days, the kingdom was divided. He gave Jeroboam 10 tribes, and the king of Judah kept Judah and Ephraim. But anyway, the judgment of God follows disobedience, especially when you hold the truth in unrighteousness. But beside that, the Lord wanted Solomon to come back. Now, he wrote Proverbs when he was following God. And then he deviated because of those wives he had. But God didn't give up on him. He appeared to him twice. And so the Lord loves everybody. Everybody, he cares about everyone. And he don't want you to be lost. But everybody in the kingdom of God, they are there because they want to be there. And what I'm saying is people can leave it if that's what they really want to do. And they leave it over something else. They want something that's not in the kingdom of God. And the only alternative is Satan's ways, the way of pride and lust and greed. And you'll be surprised how attractive it is. But these things are of Satan. And it's not of God. So the only other kingdom out there is Satan's kingdom. And when you look at it that way, you want to know God's kingdom. It's crazy to go into Satan's kingdom. But if you don't understand how Satan's kingdom works and how God's kingdom works, it can be elusive. Now, Satan's kingdom is nothing but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things carry you away from God, so they carry you away from what life is. And if with the wrong desires, they will consume you. If a person is greedy, if a man loves silver, he can't be satisfied with silver. If a man loves gold, he can't get enough gold. He'll always try to get more. He's depending on something that's outside of him to satisfy him. But in the kingdom of God, it works better. The Lord, we are complete in Christ. And there's a party going on the inside. There's health going on the inside. Love is in there. And you don't need something on the outside to satisfy. You're satisfied with from within. From where the Holy Spirit lives in you. And all the things you do is a bonus. You can, some people, they desire a car. And they get the car and they basically worship the car. They're scared to drive. They can't enjoy it. They wash it. They wax it. And they park it on the inside. Nobody can see it. And then they take it out every once in a while and they drive it. And they're nervous. They can't enjoy it because they're scared they're going to tear it up. And some cars become so valuable that they don't want to use it. They can't enjoy it. You know what's going to happen? They're going to die one day and somebody's going to pull that car out and enjoy it. And tear it up and wear it out. That's what you're supposed to do with a car. Because they do that because they set their affection on it. Set your affection on the things of God and enjoy life. Go to baseball games, drive that car to movies, drive that car wherever you go. Drive it till you get tired of it. Enjoy what you have. There are people who are very rich and they're in strife because they want more. And that every day they're closer to the day they're going to die. And they're old. And they're still trying to get more and throw it in the bank. You know what's going to happen? Eventually the day is going to come. They're going to die. And then their family or whoever's next in line, they're going to get that money and spend it and enjoy it and forget about them. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of God, you can take that money, see the needs that you things you want to do and accomplish. You can do it and enjoy life. You can't enjoy life Satan's way. There's no satisfaction in it. It's a carrot before the donkey that people use to deceive that donkey to go where they want to go. You never get what you're after in Satan's kingdom. Everything's elusive. But when you everything is, even what you get, Satan gonna mess it up. He's gonna fix it where you'll be scared to use it. And then he'll use it against you. People are, they live, if you live in the kingdom of heaven, of Satan, it's very stressful. When you proud people can't, they can't appreciate what they have. When people get into pride, if they have a spouse that desperately loves them, that they're devoted to them and they love them, they can't appreciate that. They want to go some. They want to look over their shoulder at some other woman, or if it's a woman, some other man. Somebody that strokes their ego. But they have a wife. A lot of men have wives that love them. They wash their clothes. They wash the dishes. They cook. They have good conversation. But when you're in pride, you can't appreciate all that. Until it's over with. Then you look over your shoulder. You mess up the relationship. And now you're homeless out there somewhere, depressed, thinking about how you messed your whole life up. Following a pipe dream. And God don't want that for anybody. He know that Satan's kingdom is crooked as a dog's hind leg, and you're gonna mess yourself up. He know this. This is not God's first rodeo. So if you start trusting the Lord and learning His kingdom and how it works, you'll prosper perfectly and you'll enjoy your life. You'll have treasures and things that you desire, because when you do the right thing, it causes the blessings of God to come on you. Now, the God didn't give us money all at once. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, these things will be added, not multiplied. He's not going to come in and just make you rich all in one day, which He can do. Now, I've watched the Lord do things like that for people who've been serving Him. I've never heard a testimony where God caused somebody to be given a house or a car or a lot of money at once, unless they were working in the kingdom. They were serving God for years, and things like that happened to them. Sometimes somebody's parents die and they inherit everything. That's different. But I'm talking about when God supply people. When God is in it, you work as under God and He adds it to you. You get a good job and you work as under God and you prosper over time. The word of God is written that way. God does things. Now, these broadcasts on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. It's important to know that, so that people can go back and hear it. And you can transfer these broadcasts. You can download them and send them to people that you want to help, that you want to hear it. And I thank God for the, you know, technology. He did this because He loves us. But when you walk the path of God, you're doing something much greater and stronger. Never underestimate what God can do in your life. Now, there's a blessing in Matthew chapter 5. It's called the Beatitudes. Jesus taught people, and He gave us everything we need to build our life in the Sermon on the Mount. Now I'm going to read some of them. Verse 1, this is Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People who have no hope, they can look up. There's hope in heaven. And the kingdom is yours if that's what you want. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. People that cry out for their sins and their problems, and the Lord hears them and blesses them. See, when you look to God, you change the facts. When you look to God, you change all the facts. The problems in life, they're facts. They're factual. They're really there. But when you look to the Lord, He's there. There's only two kind of people. People that need God and people that know they need God. The poor in spirit, they know, hey, my life is broken. I need it fixed. They honest to God. They start looking to the Lord. But proud people don't look to God. They look within for their help. They look at themselves. All right, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those that are powerful and they do the right thing, people of integrity, people that, see, meekness that's not weakness. Meekness is when you're powerful and you're under control. You're going to inherit the earth. Because the kingdom of God is going to be, it's going to take over the whole earth. Jesus is going to come back and judge the earth, burn it up, and restore it. And this is where we will live. This is one thing the Jehovah Witnesses are right about. They took a fact that people didn't preach right. But see, they don't look at Jesus, so they're not going to inherit the earth unless they believe on Jesus as their Savior. He's the Son of God. He's alive. His blood washed away your sins. If his blood didn't wash away your sins, you have nothing to do with it. But the Jehovah Witnesses are right about the fact that we're going to live on the earth forever. That's why he said the meek will inherit the earth. And he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're not going to be left in the dark if you seek the Lord. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's a blessing to be a blessing to others. You're going to be blessed. You're going to do something and need mercy, and you're going to obtain it because you were merciful in life. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People don't understand God, so they're not going to understand you. And you do right anyway, and God will bless you. God say you're blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt of lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but cast out to be trodden under the foot of men. He said, you're the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hid. See, all these things are true. And God loves us. His love don't change. He know what you're going through. But you're going through what he's going through. You're going through what he's going through. But he knows how to comfort you. And he's blessed regardless of what people do. Lord our God is here for us. He's available. He made himself available for you. He know what you're going through. You're going through nothing different than what he's going through. Even your sickness. Jesus bore that for you. He went through it. Through it. And conquered it. Now one thing about churches, people talk about going through things. And all the miseries that we share sometimes because we love God. And the world is against us and Satan tries to fight us and people don't understand. People we care about, we're trying to get them saved, they don't understand. Their proud behavior caused them to believe that we think that we're better than them. We are better off because of Jesus. Not because we're good. We don't do right because we had the power to do right. We were given the power to do right and become the sons and daughters of God. And we want people to know how wonderful God is. And the enemy turned things around in their mind. So through pride, he can cause people to believe wrong. It's wrong. They can't tell, and they don't have anything to judge it by within. But when they see the light that you live, it gives them hope, even if they don't like it. If they have a good heart at all, they will come. I know a lot of people that said all kind of things when I first told them about Jesus. And then they start getting saved. So, see, the Word of God, the Word of God can still work on a person. You can't go by what they say. People say things out of their mind. That means very little. It's what the, it's what's in their heart. That's what comes out of their heart. That's what you got to deal with. Salvation is of the heart, not the mind. Some people say, "I love God." In their mind, they know that's what they're supposed to say. They know that's acceptable in society to say that you love God and all the other right things. But under pressure, when people are under pressure, that's what comes out of their heart. And sometimes people speak under pressure out of their mind. But when a person deviates from God in their heart, that's when they walk out of the kingdom. And when they see the light and hope for it, God can notice that. And he can work with them. He can always work with a heart that's receptive to the Word of God. And what I'm saying is, when people, before salvation is manifested fully, the heart is in a receiving mode to the Word, and faith is being formed. And once it's formed, they'll speak it in faith, and they'll know what you know. Then, people in the world, they don't feel what you feel if you love God. They can't see what you see. Now, a few broadcasts ago, I talked about how when you tell people about Jesus, they know it's true. They can't be deceived against him. They know it's true to the point that they get angry. But until they believe for themselves, they didn't experience it. But if people love the world more than they love God, they'll look over their shoulder at the world and they'll end up over there. That don't happen in one day, but whatever gets in your heart, that's where you're going to go. Whatever you trust the most, that's what you're going to do. Even habits, you have to get habits out of your heart. If you want crack, if you drank a lot, if you gamble too much, or whatever, you got to change what's in your heart, and then it'll change outside your life. It'll change out in life. But the Lord is very patient. He means business when it comes to redemption. And he does what he can do to help men come back to life, or come to life in the first place. So it's important for us to love everybody, everywhere, all the time, and pray for people, and represent people to God, and ask the Lord to give you wisdom in how you deal with people, because they're going to be contrary because they don't understand, and because they don't understand, it can cause you. You love God, you stand for him, you're doing the right thing. They don't always see what you see. They can't always appreciate your love. But the way to do this thing and do it well is steadily receive the love and insight and wisdom of God's word. Receive God's wisdom. Receive it. And then share it. Receive it and share it. Receive it and share it. It works. God's going to reward you for doing this. You're an extension of him when you do this. You're giving him a chance to be represented in the earth. The Lord needs more representatives in the earth. Some people don't represent God right. Some preachers, they quell the word. They diminish the word and don't preach it like they ought to. Whatever you do, do it in wisdom. Do what God guides you to do. He know what to do. See, there's a time when you preach the word in a calm way. Some people get them out of the world with your love and your understanding and your wisdom. And some people, you gotta just snatch them out the fire, like I do sometimes. You gotta just tell them like it is, flat footed, straight spine. You gotta just tell them the truth to get them out of the word. The Holy Spirit will prompt you in how to deal with them. You don't have to, when I say you don't have to compromise, I don't mean be mean. I don't mean tell people boldly all the time. Don't all, alter the word. But by all means, minister life according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He will guide you because people are so precious to Him. You have to trust Him. You have to trust what He's putting in your heart. And then you can do them some good. Now, I can't help people if they don't want it, but by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, I can do my job better. And I can become effective. Now, I mentioned earlier that Solomon, the Lord appeared to him twice because he listened to his 1,000 wives and concubines. You know, he had 300 wives and 700 concubines, and they turned his heart. Now, before they did that, he wrote the book of Proverbs when he was following God. And then he deviated and lived under the thumb of the world for a while. He was living with Satan's foot on his neck, out there in the world doing whatever he wanted to do. But he still had the wisdom that God gave him, because just because you leave or do something stupid, your anointing don't leave, and your wisdom that God gave you don't, you can remember. So he had something to come back to. And in those days, God winked at sin. God didn't judge men like He will now. If you sin now, you're on your own. You walked out. He equipped you not to walk out. Solomon, in all his wisdom, he didn't have a new heart. He had the same old heart because he was Old Testament. Now, with that being said, he was out there, but he still had the wisdom of God. Now, chapter 4, it says, "So I returned." Now, I hope that meant that he came back to God. Because when he wrote Ecclesiastes, he wrote about his time in the world estranged from God. And he wrote about how everyday life in the world is vanity of vanity. The whole thing is a waste of time. See, the kingdom of God is not vanity of vanity. He's talking about life in the world system when he turned his back on God because of those women and their idolatry. And he did a lot of crooked things while he was out there. And he wrote about all the things he experienced and saw. He wanted to know what good was in doing wrong. And he found out it was sorrow. So if you study the book of Ecclesiastes, it's an inspired book by the Holy Spirit, because the man who wrote it was wise, and he was just telling you about everyday life in the world system, comparing it to God's point of view, like I'm doing in this broadcast. He's giving you inside information. See, some people, they got saved as children, and they stayed in the love of God, and they don't know what it's like to have your conscience seared with a hot iron. When you're in the world, I was a sinner for a while. Now, children's spirits are lit. When I was around, I guess it was the 7th and 9th and 8th grade, I started understanding sin. And the Lord told me, "You're on your own now." But I didn't get saved. I didn't get saved till I was almost 20. I was 19. 1 month later, I turned 20. So I got saved when I was 19. Now, between the ages of about 13 or 14, to 19, I was in the world, and my opinions were different. My thoughts were different. I wanted to do what Jesus said do, but I didn't think I could do it. And I also wanted to play with the world. And those things harden your heart. Now, everyday life, I felt good in my body. I could go to bed without thinking about God. He was not in my thoughts. I thought about all kind of stuff. I didn't think about hell or heaven. That was like a faraway place. And it seemed like the illusion is that you're going to live forever anyway. The illusion is death is a long way off. It's not something you think about. And young people, they feel good. They don't have aches and pains in their body. They don't have any clues that death is coming. unless they get sick. They feel good every day. You know, you might get tired, but you don't feel bad. You don't have pain like older people do. You don't hear young people talking about my feet hurt. No, not in them days, because we were athletic. We played football, basketball, and baseball, and rode motorcycles all day. We were tough. I was a young man, I felt good. So my thoughts were different. And two Coke men came to the store I worked at. I worked at a grocery store, told people about Jesus. Now my dad was a pastor. But they reminded me of things that I would listen to. He preached in another city. I didn't get to go hear him preach like I did when I was younger. I went to a church locally. I went to church, but when you go to church and you're not saved, you don't hear the same things.